Well, thanks for joining me. I want to pray for Dr. Nemeth. Always good to talk with him. I want to pray for anyone who's lost somebody by violence or accident or tragedy. And I do want to pray for those parents. I know there are parents out there who have drug-addicted children. And you're at the end of your rope, and you don't know what to do. You can't do anything, right? They're adults. Maybe your child has mental illness, and they're an adult, right? And you know they need help, but they don't think they do. Maybe there's a child that's suffering from crippling anxiety or depression, and they're adults. They won't get the help. It's hard sometimes as a parent to, you know, watch your loved one go down a pathway you know is just filled with sorrow and destruction and not being able to do a whole lot. So I want to pray for those parents who are in that situation. If you're one of those, you have my prayers today. And I get to pray for our country. Prayer changes things. You know that. I believe this so much. I'm so glad that every afternoon we can stop all the conversation that we have here. We can just pray. We can just ask God for mercy. And he hears these prayers. I know grace is flowing. I know when you and I come together, things begin to change. We may not see them, but I'll tell you, behind the scenes, things are in motion. And I am grateful to have you there. Hey, as you know, my producer, Maggie, was away from the microphone for a while. She had gotten married a couple weeks ago and was on her honeymoon. She just got back from her honeymoon, so it's good to have her back behind the microphone here. And Maggie, thank you for joining us during the pledge drive. I know when we were overseas, I was surprised. Maggie and Joe, her husband, made a pledge. They were listening. We missed having you here. We missed especially having you during the chaplet.
Oh, well, I mean, it's a pleasure to be back and to be back praying with you guys. I tuned in a couple of times while we were over there just to see how things were going. And it was that Friday. We had just come back from dinner and we were like getting ready for bed. And I was like, I gotta find out. Like, did they make it? Did they, you know, have they gotten it? You still had a little ways to go. And so I was like, oh man, I gotta send them a little note.
It was crazy, Maggie, because I think like when I signed off the air on Thursday, and you know what it's like, you know, I mean, Monday and Tuesday tend to be slow, but Wednesday, Thursday, things pick up, putting us in striking distance of our pledged goal. Mm-hmm. We had almost $1 million to raise. And I thought for 4 days, you know, as we slogged through this, are we going to get $1 million the last day? It's so crazy, the generosity and the support that comes through.
Amazing.
But it came through. And it was people like you, Maggie, who made the pledge. We all did, right? We set a record one day of over 1,008 pledges. And one of the, you know, we shattered the old record there. So a lot of heroic giving, a lot of generosity. We're so grateful for all of you. But we missed having you here. Yeah. What was the highlight of your trip?
Well, you know what? I kind of tagged this memory. I was like, I got to tell Drew about this when I get back. So we spent the last leg of our trip in Sorrento.
Oh, yeah.
And Joe had looked. He loves seafood. Loves seafood. Yeah. And he had looked online. He had seen some restaurant at some point online called Il Delfino. And it's at the very, very end of one of the marinas in Sorrento. It was a rainy day, and we'd been walking around. It's kind of cold and rainy, and we were walking through the marina, and I was like, oh, in my head, I'm like, there's all these other places here that look great. They're like fisherman-owned, and you can tell they're like good seafood, but he's like, we're going to the far end of this marina in the rain, and I'm like, oh, just bite your tongue. Just keep going. He wants to go to this place. All right. So we finally get to this place, and there's this little lady that's running the joint. And Joe goes, gosh, she kind of reminds me of my mom. She really did remind us of his mom. His mom's name is Louise. Mm-hmm. And this, when we finally were chit-chatting with this lady, she's like, my name is Louisa. And she saw me take a picture of Joe because she brought out this plate of just like just mounded with seafood.
Oh.
And she put it in front of him. I took his picture, and because of you, because of the Divine Mercy card that you have in the back of your phone, I did the same at some point when someone gave me a Divine Mercy card. So it's in the back of my phone case. She saw it and freaked out, and she was like, oh, Divine Mercy. She runs off and she gets us a couple of little divine, she's got these blessed medals, and she's telling us about her trips to Medjugorje. So I told her about Relevant Radio, and It was so funny because I've never had that happen in a foreign country.
It's so cool. I mean, the Divine Mercy connection. If you have a devotion to Divine Mercy, we're all connected, right? I mean, you see how excited she got when she saw your Divine
so
Mercy?
So excited.
I happened to be in Italy one time with Father Seraphim Michelanco. He was the vice postulator for the cause of St. Faustina. And we went into a church somewhere. We were up in Venice or wherever we were. And when he saw the Divine Mercy image, he would get crazy. He gets so excited to see the Divine Mercy image showing up in other places. In fact, speaking of that, while you were gone, they held SatanCon in Boston, right? And all these Satanists gathered and things along those lines. I was reading an article today, this morning, about what went down there. And they were showing you how they were targeting kids with these satanic dolls and bedtime stories and all these different things. They showed you one picture. There was a girl wearing horns outside, and she was walking down the street. Right in the background, there was an image of Divine Mercy. I'm like, look at that. You know, somebody had a huge Divine Mercy image in their window. I'm like, that is just so cool. So God's mercy will always prevail. We missed you. It was good to have you back.
I missed you too.
And we got a lot to get into. I know you're going to be taking petitions off of Twitter too. So if anyone wants to have your petition voice back, he says a lot are coming in today. You can go to @DrewMarianiShow and share your thoughts. We got more to talk about, Maggie, everything from the weather over there to, and I felt bad for you because I know we have to pray, but my gosh, the weather, nothing but rain.
Pray for the farmers and the orchard growers in Italy. They said it's a highly unusual season, and they're wondering how it's going to affect the olives and the lemons.
Well, I suggest you and Joe go back for your 1 year anniversary.
Oh, okay.
Why not, right? Head back when the weather's a little nicer.
Yeah.
You'll love it. It'll be great. In fact, I'll think of you when I head over there in November. So, all right, well, let's pray. We will pray right now. We'll thank God for his blessings and for his mercy. If you're in a difficult time, let's pray for you especially, okay? We'll ask God really to change your situation, and we'll begin as we do every day. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. You expired, Jesus, but the source of life gushed forth for souls, and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. O font of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us. O blood and water which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus is a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus is a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus is a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and was born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died and was buried. He descended into hell on the third day. He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Amen. All right. And our first call today, we'll go right to the phones. We'll say hello to Catherine praying with us in Medina, Minnesota. Hi, Catherine.
Yes, it's Medina.
Medina, forgive me. Forgive me.
Yeah, no problem. So I have two praise reports. The first one, I waited a week to call you because I was back home in my island of Martinique, and I met a beautiful lady from Haiti, and she shared with me that her sister-in-law was kidnapped. And so I shared with her that the chaplet... is a prayer that helps with kidnapping. And I prayed the chaplet, but I couldn't call because I was out of the country. The next day, if you can believe this, she sent me a text saying that her sister was freed.
I love it.
I waited a week because I just wanted to make sure. It's so unbelievable.
That is such an incredible story, Catherine. I am so glad you shared it. I've heard that too. I've heard about people being kidnapped by the Mexican cartels, people lost in the woods, the elderly that have gone their way, children that went missing. It's a weird carriage of God's heart is moved by that. I am so glad that you waited and showed your prudence. I'm really glad that you called in for that. Do me a favor, if you get a chance, will you write that down and email me that answer prayer to drew@relevantradio.com, okay?
I will. And then my second praise report is about my sister-in-law. I called last January because she has a very rare form of cancer, and she has three different doctors and universities working to help her. But in January, they said, we can't do anything anymore. You better start praying. And she sent me a text just today to tell me that her scan revealed that she's cancer-free.
Oh, my gosh.
It's unbelievable. Wow. Yeah.
Well, you pray for us, Catherine. Your prayers are pretty powerful. God seems to have a special place for your prayers especially. That's great. Well, congratulations. I am so happy. Send me those prayers, and let's pray right now. We'll pray for you and for all the intentions in your heart. Is there anything you want to bring before our family here?
Yes, I just want to pray for all people who are, all Catholics who are divorced, and people who are divorced and remarried, and all the kids that are caught in the separation of their parents.
Yeah, what a beautiful prayer. We'll pray for that. Today's a great day to do that, too, because it is the feast of St. Rita of Cascia, and she's the patroness of difficult marriages. She's the patroness of for infertility and also impossible causes. So, Lord, we just turn to you now through the intercession of St. Faustina and St. Rita and all the saints, and we give you thanks for the ways you show your power, your might, the way you show your mercy, the way you answer our prayers. I thank you for those answered prayers, for the disappearance of the cancer, for the freedom of the kidnapped. And I right now pray for all those with difficult marriages, Lord. And I pray for those who are married outside the church, especially, Lord, that you bring them into it. And I give you these needs and all that Catherine has voiced, and we pray, Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, Tom. Hey, Tom in Florida, good afternoon. Thanks for joining us.
How are you doing, guys? First, I want to pray for, I forgot his name. Shame on me. Young boy, about 5 years old. Okay. Having surgery on both ears this week, I believe to put tubes in for drainage. So I'm kind of hoping that Jesus steps in. He doesn't need the tubes, you know?
Amen. Well, God knows his name. That's for sure. And Tom, I'm grateful for your call. Is there another intention, or was that the primary one?
I guess I could put this one in there. A former employer, her husband, who's a retired surgeon, has cancer in all his lymph nodes.
Wow.
So I've been calling in a few times for healing. I mean, he's still alive, so I guess it's working.
Amen.
Slowly, but working.
Yeah, if you have cancer in your lymph nodes, that's a bad diagnosis.
Well, I mean, every one of them.
Yeah,
he
needs a miracle. Let's put it that way. And let's bring him to the Lord. Tom, you're a generous man. I asked you twice, and you never asked for anything yourself. You prayed for this little boy with the surgery, 5 years old, and you prayed for this surgeon, and Lord, I give you a time. I ask you to hear every cry and a prayer of his heart. You know his needs as once, so I ask for blessings on him today. I do pray for those with cancer, Lord, especially this man, those in impossible situations where the doctors say, hey, nothing more we can do. If it's your will, we pray for the divine touch of your healing and restoration for your greater glory. If for some reason cancer is the mechanism that brings us home to you, then give us the grace to prepare ourselves for paradise. And I pray for those whose loved ones do fight, who suffer as they watch their loved ones fight for their life. I beg your mercy as we pray, Eternal Father. We offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, before we go to Martha, who's in Arizona, Maggie, I know a lot of intentions are coming your way, both internally here at the network as well as on Twitter. What can we pray for?
Our colleague Diana wrote to us earlier today, Drew. She said, I just spoke with a man named Sean from California who lost his son Garrett to cancer 9 months ago and is experiencing such sorrow and grief. He can't seem to recover from seeing his son pass away. So I had wrote her back and I said that I hope Sean is listening. He should tune in to our last hour today of the show because we're going to talk about grief and loss.
And why God allows suffering, the mystery of evil. I mean, why does God, why would he take your child?
You know,
it's a good issue. So we'll dive into that.
And our colleague Madeline also spoke with a listener, a woman from California, called in earlier today. She said that she has been witnessing a major issue of the Eucharist not being respected where she lives. In her parish, people have been putting it in their pockets, and sometimes they're being sold off some kind of black market. And she says she also has a neighbor who is a witch. So I want to lift up this listener and her whole parish community in her neighborhood. I also had a voicemail for prayers, especially coming up to Memorial Day weekend for veterans who are homeless. Carolyn wrote to us on Twitter and said, please pray for my grandbaby, Levi. He received vaccines last week and has had an allergic reaction. Please pray for his complete healing. He's only 16 months old.
Wow.
Charlene said, please pray for Barbara, whose household is struggling with a difficult caregiver. Pray for peace and positive resolutions. Gracie wrote to us and said, in your Divine Mercy chaplet, could you please pray for me? I have COVID again, and I'm immune suppressed. I don't fight off viruses easily. I trust in Jesus, but I'm still feeling scared. Last summer, I wound up in the hospital because of COVID. I'm thankful for your prayers. And lastly, Sue wrote to us and said, Drew, please pray for my husband, Michael. He's been diagnosed with MCI, which stands for mild cognitive impairment. She says, I'm seeing his memory start to drift away.
Oh, man.
We've been married for almost 40 years, and he is my life.
Oh,
my
sad.
Mom had Alzheimer's. I just need strength and patience for this.
Well, we'll pray for that and all those intentions that came in. I just want to let you know how our spiritual family is working. I just got an email from Valjean. And Valjean says, I'm praying for all the Divine Mercy family right now. So he is in adoration at this very moment. So he's connected with our Lord, praying for you. And Valjean will pray for you as well. Thank you for your prayers. We'll go to Arizona next. Martha, good afternoon.
Yes, I'm praying for my husband. We would be married 26 years this June, but he separated from me last year. So I've been praying to St. Rita because of the sufferings and wants to dissolve our marriage, and was married by a bishop, and I pray to St. Jude to find us, to have us a gift from God, and just that we met on Padre Pio's feast day 29 years ago this year.
Well,
and just like his heart is cold towards me.
I'm so sorry, Martha. I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
Let's pray for him right now, and I love your prayer, because St. Rita, in particular, she was married to, in her case, an abusive husband who was eventually murdered. And she is an incredible intercessor when it comes to troubled marriages and difficult marriages. And let's bring her feast day today. So let's bring your husband to her. From St. Rita, we ask your intercession for this marriage. I pray again today for all of these troubled marriages. And I just ask in a special way, Lord, that your mercy reignites the fire, the love between these souls, and strengthens the bond of anyone's marriage. You know, if you're happily married, that it grows stronger. If your marriage has grown tepid or cold, Lord, that you reinvigorate that relationship. We pray against any demonic or dark force that wants to separate and attack those marriages as well. We pray, Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, Maria is in Joliet, Illinois. Hi, Maria. Thank you for joining us.
Hi, you guys. Thank you for taking my call. I want to thank the Lord for my brother-in-law. A couple of years ago, I was calling you guys for prayers, and he finally, because he had a small lung cancer, and they finally told him that he was free from cancer.
Oh, praise God.
And I want to pray for my niece. I don't want to get surgery, so hopefully my Lord will heal my niece and whoever is hurt, because it's not fun.
No, I could imagine. Well, let's pray for you right now. No, go ahead, Maria. Another attention. Go ahead.
Yeah, I would like to pray for all the children that they're getting out of school and so they be healthy and so the Lord guides them to whatever He wants.
Amen to that. Well, we're going to pray for you. That's a beautiful intention too. And just we give the Lord thanks. I'm so happy that your brother-in-law is now cancer-free. So many answered prayers today, you know, from the kidnapping to the cancer. Lord, I give you every one of Maria's intentions. I unite her intentions with all who now are asking you for mercy. I pray, Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Just received this email too. Could you pray for my son and his wife? This person writes, who are to separate this week. Pray for the healing of their marriage. All right, please pray for the blood work. Okay, we'll lift that up. And all this attention, but marriage today, Lord, I really bring you marriages today. I ask for your mercy. Woodbury Heights, New Jersey. Hi, Anthony.
Hey, Drew. How are you? God bless you.
I'd like to
wish my wife a happy 39th birthday today and tell her that I love her, and I pray that the Lord continue to bless her and bless our relationship.
Cute.
What's her name?
Her name's Kathleen.
Hey, Kathleen. Happy birthday. You're lucky to have
you.
Anthony.
Good
man.
Amen. Thank you, sir. If I could throw one more intention, please. Tonight starts my two children's Catholic schools carnival, St. Margaret's Carnival. I pray that the Lord protect everyone there. There's much success, great weather, and peace. And I pray that the Holy Spirit be with every family tonight at the carnival. I pray anybody that's listening in the South Jersey area, if you could come out, Woodbury Heights, New Jersey, St. Margaret's Regional School. Thank you. God bless you.
God bless you. They have a happy birthday. It's celebrating your wife's birthday. And go out, check it out. This carnival sounds like fun. Great fundraisers. Lord, I give you Anthony, and I give you everyone who is united with us right now. So many important intentions that are on hold. And I just I give you my own heart. I have a special intention, Lord. I'd love you to be merciful too. And I just I want to pray on behalf of everyone that's now on hold, everyone who's united with me, and everyone who's written to me. And we turn to you with confidence, Lord. We know how merciful you are. You are love and mercy itself. And I thank you for all those answered prayers as I pray. Eternal Father, We offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, please look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us so that in difficult moments we may not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Our Lady Queen of Heaven,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Champion,
pray for us.
Mother of Mercy,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Guadalupe,
pray for us.
Our Lady Reconciler of Peoples and Nations,
pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful,
pray for us.
Saint Joseph,
pray for us.
Saint Faustina,
pray for us.
Saint John Paul II,
pray for us.
Saint Rita,
pray for us.
Saint Peregrine,
pray for us.
Saint Jose Maria,
pray for us.
St. Patrick,
pray for us.
And all you angels and saints,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Just a quick note on St. Rita. She is patron of impossible cases. I know we all pray together at this point in time. If you're having a difficult marriage, turn to her today. If you're having infertility issues, turn to her. She was a mother who lived she lived in the 14th century in Italy, and I think she's incorrupt. Did you see her head? I think her head and her finger. It's kind of weird, but I believe she's an incorruptible. And she was very faithful in her state in life. Her husband was very abusive, and her sons wanted to avenge their father's death, and she prayed that God would take them rather than let them commit that type of crime. And after the deaths of her family, God did take them. She joined the convent where she lived the rest of her days. They say the stigmata. She had a thorn actually in her head, if I remember correctly, that smelled. It was putrid. Imagine what that did, another form of suffering. And she wanted to be more united to Christ, so she accepted all these sufferings. The last 4 years of her life, she ate almost nothing but the Eucharist. And there have been many saints that have lived on nothing but the Eucharist for years. An unbelievable mystical phenomena. But more about Rita, if I have time a little bit later, call upon her. These saints are powerful intercessors. And pray for me. When we come back, here's one other thing you may want to stay tuned for. This is interesting. Pontius Pilate, when you meet truth, when you come face to face with truth, who is Jesus? And Pilate says, what? What is truth, right? What is truth? The question I have, did Pontius Pilate convert to Christianity? Some say his wife did. There's a lot of popular belief that so did he. We'll explore the mysterious conversion of Pontius Pilate when I return.
Your daily dose of faith, hope, and charity. The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Hey, looking for a new job? How about one that offers opportunities for spiritual, social, and charitable growth? Our sponsor, Catholic Order of Foresters, is hiring new agents today. Visit relevantradio.com/forester and Illinois Life Insurance Society. Not available in all states.
Conversations so good, you'll want to hear them twice. Check out Drew's podcast on relevantradio.com or anywhere podcasts can be found.
Yeah, if you miss any of the conversation here, or you want to listen to it again, or maybe you want to share it with somebody, check our podcast out. It's a great way also to evangelize. Good to be with you. I always try to look at, not just the events that are unfolding in our world, right? The news, the issues of the day, but also the spiritual. I like to see those God connections. You know, I came across a story that I, I thought, let's talk about this. The conversion of Pontius Pilate. What happened to Pilate? I mean, do you think he converted? Or with all the power he has, you know, and the Roman culture of the time, he stayed steadfast in his way. I mean, can you imagine coming face to face with Christ, having a conversation with him, asking him questions like, what is truth? People often talk about having these personal encounters with Christ. And, of course, that's phenomenal. And we all should have those, you know. But there is one person in world history whose personal encounter leaves a question. Did it lead to conversion or no? He met Christ and he put him to death. We're talking, of course, about Pontius Pilate. The Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke all record what happened between the two of them. And St. John provides a whole lot more details of their encounter, and he shows the very real back and forth that Pilate goes through in just trying to keep Jesus from being crucified. Remember, Pilate's wife also sent him a note saying, hey, do nothing with this holy man. And she had a dream. St. Matthew records something that no other gospel includes, and it's, you know, while he was sitting on the bench, you know, his wife gave him a warning, you know, and that's about all the detail that we have, right? The dream must have been pretty profound. It disturbed her that much that she'd intervene in Pilate's affairs. But, of course, there were writers who later embellished on the bare minimal facts. They came up with pretty fanciful ideas of, you know, what she dreamt. But I bring this up because I came across an article in an Eastern Orthodox publication. And it raised the question, did Pontius Pilate convert to Christianity? And it's an interesting question, and most of what might be said about it is probably just speculation, but there were three early church writers. You have Tertullian, right? You've got St. Irenaeus, and you've got Augustine, who speculated about this. What's interesting is that the Orthodoxy recognizes Pilate's wife as a saint and actually gives her a name, the name of Claudia. So what's the truth? What are we to make of this? Whatever happened to Pontius Pilate? I've invited today Dr. John Bergsman to stop by. He's a professor of theology at Franciscan University at Steubenville, a senior fellow at the St. Paul Center for Biblical Theology and an expert on the Dead Sea Scrolls. I believe he's heading to the Holy Land, I think, well, to get up to speed and see where that trip is. I hope I'm not too late for that, but he's authored a lot of different books, Love Basics for Catholics and a number of other books. Great to have you back with me, Doctor. Thanks for joining me.
Absolutely, Drew. It's always a pleasure.
When are you heading back to Israel? I know that you had a trip planned. Did that already run, or is that coming up?
Yeah, it's coming up June 23rd through July 2nd. Going to be heading out there.
That's going to be exciting. I mean, there's a lot of other news that took place before we get to Pilate as well. And I'm curious, did you hear about that ancient receipt that was discovered just recently? It's a 2,000-year-old, you know, I guess it's a 2,000-year-old receipt. I guess it was on stone.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, it's kind of like, you know, like those receipts that you get from Burger King or whatever. Yeah. You stop for fast food, you usually throw that away. Well, they found the clay equivalent of that from the time of our Lord along the main pilgrimage route. Going into Jerusalem, this is an area that's being excavated. Most pilgrimages right now still don't go there, but if folks are heading to the Holy Land, I recommend they check out the it's called the City of David excavation. Mm. I personally go there every time I head out because of some fantastic sites that are in that location, including the Gihon Spring, where King Solomon was anointed and washed in 1 Kings chapter 1, as well as the Pool of Siloam, where the blind man was healed, of course, in John 9. So that main pilgrimage route actually starts at the Pool of Siloam and then went up to the temple. And they're digging that out, Drew, as we said, and they found one of these receipts from the time of our Lord, which shows how literate they were. Wow. Drew, you know, there are many people able to read and write, scratch notes and stuff, and that impinges on the Gospels, of course, because the disciples could have scratched notes of our Lord's sayings to record them for posterity.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. That's kind of cool. I never thought of that. So, you know, you think about how, you know, the scriptures are so so reflective of one another, the Gospels. And, you know, how do you remember this stuff 70 years later or even longer than that, right? Well, what if it was scratched down? I mean, that makes a lot of sense, there, especially these incredible miracles. I mean, who wouldn't record that, right? If you could, you could etch that out somewhere. It makes a lot of sense. With St. Faustina, she did the same thing when she first had these visions of Jesus. She would put them on scraps of paper, and her spiritual director eventually said, hey, you know, we need to put these in a, into a diary. And there's a shoebox of her messages that have gone missing. And they don't know what happened to them. I remember speaking to the vice postulator about it. They're starting the calls for Blessed Sopochko. And he says, you know, some of the things that she said about the protection the image offers you and things along those lines were on these scraps of paper. You know, they're not necessarily in the diary. So I pray to God one day, maybe they're in an attic somewhere in Poland or Lithuania or, you know, Vilnius or someplace like that, and they'll show up. But I just love when it's amazing how much, you know, how much history the grounds of Israel continue to give up. You know, you and I talk about this every year. There's something new. In fact, there was one more. Maybe you can unpack this for me. I didn't get a chance to read a whole lot about this, but there was a tablet that they found hidden writing on, and it said, "You're cursed by God." What was that tablet? What's that story all about?
Sure. Well, if we look at the Pentateuch, you know, the end of Deuteronomy and into the book of Joshua, Drew, God commanded Moses and then Moses' successor, Joshua, to build an altar on Mount Ebal and also to have a covenant renewal ceremony with the tribes of Israel there. And it records at the beginning of Joshua, and then at the end of Joshua, having religious ceremonies up at the top of Mount Ebal. Well, sure enough, that area has been excavated. They have found an altar, which amazingly appears to date from what we estimate to be the time of Joshua. And then this written kind of a prayer curse. It's kind of like a prayer for God to bring judgment on the enemies of the worshiper that was scratched on a little piece of lead, you know, because lead is soft and easy to write on, and of course, very durable to be preserved down to the present day. So we have essentially, Drew, a piece of writing from the time of Joshua, from a prayer from somebody who was worshiping on this site, on the altar that seems to be to date from his time, where the Bible locates it. Just absolutely astounding.
I love those stories. And as I said, they keep coming up more and more. Hey, doctor, hold the thought, okay? I'm going to take a short break. When we come back, I'd love to talk to you a little bit about Pontius Pilate, what your theory on him is, whether or not he did indeed convert to Christianity. Is there any evidence that perhaps he did? I know there's some apocryphal writings, but what do we know about Pontius Pilate? What do we know about his wife? Was there a great conversion, as perhaps our Orthodox brothers and sisters think? We'll look at that and more right after this.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio. You'll get some real Catholic answers right here.
Hey, if you're in the market for health insurance, well, our sponsor, the Catholic Order of Foresters, is here to help you and your family find the most cost-effective health plan. Learn more at relevantradio.com/Forester.
This is the Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio and on the Relevant Radio app.
Well, thank you for tuning in and joining me. Taking a look right now at Pontius Pilate. Have you ever thought about him? Ever wonder what happened to Pilate? You know, we know the role of Claudia, his wife. Some believe that she is, she converted to Christianity. What about Pilate? There were early writers who say he became a Christian. What happened to him, we don't know. According to some, Pilate killed himself when he was in exile. Others suggest that perhaps he was executed by the reign of the Emperor Nero. Who knows what happened to him? Some believe that maybe he became a Christian. There's good reason to believe that he might have become a Christian. The second century Christian writer Tertullian suggested in one of his writings that soon after the crucifixion of Christ, Pilate, you know, tried to convince the emperor Tiberius to follow suit, that he converted, and he was trying to convert to have the emperor do the same thing. Bishop you know, Irenaeus, he wrote about an icon of the Lord painted by Pontius Pilate. So what happened? I don't know. There were others, too. My guest today, Dr. John Bergsma, joins me. He's a biblical expert. And just here to explore what we know. I mean, there's, of course, apocryphal writings. But, Doctor, I'm not even quite sure where to start here. What do we know? Is there any evidence that Pilate converted to Christianity? It would make sense to me if you encountered Christ and then post his resurrection, heard all these accounts of the man that you just put to death, you know, walking the streets and being seen by 5,000 and so many of these other accounts. What do you make of it? And what are your thoughts?
The theory that I never really considered seriously before, Drew, but coming across the same sources that you mentioned, when you've got Tertullian and Irenaeus and Augustine all indicating that the man became a Christian, that's pretty weighty testimony. These are all Latin fathers, and of course, Pilate was a functionary of the Roman government, so the memory of his career would have been preserved in the Latin tradition. So, you know, anything that has those three fathers behind it is definitely worth consideration. And another thing I'd point out here, Drew, is that Pilate gets a somewhat sympathetic portrayal in the Gospels, especially from the later Gospels like Luke and John.
True.
And, yeah, you know, it's quite clear in Luke and John that Pilate is sympathetic to our Lord and even acknowledges Jesus as King of Israel. And that's the point in John 19 where, you know, the crime for which the man was being crucified was supposed to be put on the cross. Pilate writes, "This man is the King of the Jews. The chief priests want him to write. He claimed to be the King of the Jews." In other words, make his crime that he was a pretender. But Pilate says, "No, I'm saying that his crime is that he is in fact the King of Israel." So it's you know, was that tongue in cheek? But Pilate was at least legally acknowledging Jesus as King of the Jews at his death, which is very provocative.
I never thought of that. I never thought about the way he was portrayed, but that makes a lot of sense. What about his wife? She was apparently given the name Claudia. I don't know what her actual name was. What do we know about her?
Yeah. Well, only what, you know, these traditions pass down to us and what's mentioned in the scripture. And Luke says, of course, that she sent a message to Pilate, referring to Jesus as that righteous man, right? So that's a pretty hefty statement for her to make. So we could see that she was, you know, sympathetic to our Lord. She had a revelation, apparently. So it just makes a lot of sense that would follow up with her conversion. And especially in the Gospel of Luke, you know, other Gospels as well, they mention different characters in passing who later became Christians and became part of the church, like Simon of Cyrene and Alexander and Rufus. Who are mentioned, you know, Simon, who helped Jesus carry the cross. There's a strong early tradition of his conversion, and the whole point of him being mentioned in his little bit part during the Passion is, in fact, that later his sons became prominent members of the early Christian community. So it may be that Pontius's wife is singled out there in Luke because later she was known to the early Christian community, and the question arises, well, what was her role during our Lord's Passion? Didn't she try to stop it? And Luke says, well, yeah, in fact, she did.
Wow. That's fascinating. Do we know what happened to them? I know a lot of these early Christians were martyred. How did Pilate die? Is there any evidence or writing? Do you know anything about that?
Well, there's different traditions about that. He was, you know, shortly after our Lord's crucifixion and that whole debacle, Pilate got himself in trouble again with the Judean populace. And because he was unpopular, he was exiled out to Gaul, modern-day France, which was considered the ends of the earth at that time. Very unfavorable assignment. And then there are different traditions about his demise. Some claim that he committed suicide, but there's obviously the more positive tradition that he, in fact, did convert and become a member of the Christian community. But his death, Drew, I mean, the best we could say about it is it's a shrouded in mystery.
I think about what happened. I mean, Pilate, as you point out in the scriptures, is viewed somewhat favorably. There's guards placed in front of his tomb. Christ rises from the dead. This word gets buzzed all around. I'm sure the soldiers had to account for what happened to the body of Christ. I'm sure word got back to Pilate, and then I'm sure in the days that followed, when all these other post-resurrection stories took place, he probably had a very vested interest in this man. So I want to lean towards the conversion theory. I tend to think he became a Christian. When you meet Christ face to face, it has to leave an indelible mark on you. That encounter had to be haunting. And I'm sure God's grace was at work. So we'll have to see.
Absolutely.
Very, very interesting. Well, Doctor, I have a couple moments left. I want to hit you up on something else. The Emmaus Academy. You were talking to me during the break about that. That's worth sharing with everybody else. It's a Catholic streaming service. I never heard of that before. I'm familiar with Formed and some others. What is the Emmaus Academy?
Sure. Well, we here at the St. Paul Center for Biblical Theology in Steubenville have just released this Catholic educational streaming service called Emmaus Academy. And we got unique content on there that you cannot find anywhere else. Courses and talks by Dr. Scott Hahn and Kimberly Hahn, myself, Father Boniface Hicks, and a whole lineup of popular Catholic speakers. This is tremendous stuff. This is, all accessible for about $15 a month. You can stream these things and essentially get yourself nearly a university education in Catholic theology and scripture and current moral debates, et cetera, from a sound Catholic perspective. Just an amazing resource. So I encourage people to check it out. Just type Emmaus Academy into a search engine. Mm-hmm. It'll pop up. You can see what's available there, and you can get a free 7-day trial and taste it for yourself.
That's cool. I'll have to check it out. I mean, it was new to me. I've heard about some of the other streaming services, and as I was saying to you, I said, as more content gets fed into this, it's only going to become richer and deeper and a wonderful resource.
Absolutely.
Hey, one final thought. You pricked my mind when you said that some of these other biblical characters, we see show up a little bit later. Whatever happened? Do we know what happened to the wealthy young man who left Christ in sadness, or the Canaan woman and her daughter? Yeah, even that man, the demoniac who was possessed, some of these characters, the guy who fled the garden naked. I mean, what do we know about some of those other characters? Have they been identified later?
Sure. Well, some have a strong identification, like the young man who flees naked in Mark 14:51-52. There's a strong tradition and good reason to believe that is John Mark, the author of the gospel himself.
Wow.
Who was a teenager during the time of our Lord's Passion. If you triangulate with the book of Acts, you can kind of figure out that his mother owned the house of the upper room, which later became a church. You find that in Acts 12:12. And if his mother owned that property, that would explain why he was lurking around during the night of the Last Supper. So there's pretty strong evidence that we can identify that character. For some of the other characters, Drew, that you mentioned, some of the people that were healed by our Lord, we do, for some of them, have early Christian traditions, and they are given names. For example, the good thief is traditionally known as Dismas and is believed to be a saint and intercessor for us.
Yeah.
But others, only kind of leave us, and their end, or what happens to them later, is just shrouded in the darkness of history. But it's a probable thing, Drew, that a number of characters in the Gospels are mentioned by name. When they're mentioned by name, it's probably the case that they had some role in the later Christian community, and that's why they're being mentioned by name.
Gotcha.
By the Gospel writers.
Makes sense. Let's grab a call. I have a few moments left before we run out of time. This is from Miami, Florida. Nicholas has got a question for you. Hi, Nicholas.
No, I don't have a question. I just have a statement.
Okay.
Pilate and Herod became great friends after the conviction of Jesus and crucifixion.
And why do you say that? Where does that come from?
Well, that's what says in the Bible.
Okay, Doctor, your thoughts? Did they become fast friends, Pilate and Herod?
Well, they got over their animosity for sure, the kind of the rivalry that was going on there. But Pilate's career in Palestine didn't last much longer. He was only there for about two more years before being exiled. So obviously that friendship could not have been kept up. But what's interesting, again, is that the Gospels don't throw Pilate under the bus and present him as some kind of tyrant who was trying to get Jesus killed. Pretty clear that his personal sympathies were on the side of Jesus, and he was trying to find some legal way to get our Lord off the hook, but was caught in a political game that he lost with the chief priests. Yeah,
no doubt. Well, Doctor, thank you for your time. I'm always grateful for your insight and your knowledge of the Holy Land and of the Bible as well. People want to get your books. What's the best website? Just johnbergsma.com? Track you down?
Sure, johnbergsma.com. Or if you can't remember how to spell Bergsma, CatholicBibleTeacher.com will get you there.
Good idea. CatholicBibleTeacher.com. Very easy way to get a hold of them. Hey, Doc, we'll catch up again soon. Thanks for making time for us.
Absolutely. Right. You bet, Drew.
Dr. Bye-bye. John Bergsma, I always appreciate his insight. He's on point when it comes to so many of these different issues. And check out his website. Check out his books. He's written a number of them. When we come back, I want to share with you a very sad email I just received. I'm really going to ask you to pray for this woman who's really angry at God and another woman who questions the mystery of suffering. Where is God? Why would he allow her daughter to lose three children? I'm going to share some audio with you, and we'll take a look at one of the great mysteries of life, evil and suffering.